This podcast is sponsored by the brand new TalkTalk TV Hub, the TV hub that's shaking things up. Making good TV, that can be hard. Trust me, I know, I failed. But watching good TV, well, that should be easy. Instead, long contracts and loads of unwanted channels make it quite the juggling act. And you ain't no circus clown. Thankfully, TalkTalk's TV Hub is here to shake things up. You can choose the flexible subscription service you want and access all your favourite channels and streaming services in one place, meaning you spend less by only paying for the TV you watch. Imagine that. With TalkTalk TV, you're in control. Get over 10,000 apps on Google Play so you can watch, play and do whatever you want. Plus, enjoy 4K Ultra HD with Dolby Atmos sound for the ultimate viewing experience. It's the TV hub that's shaking things up from TalkTalk. To find out more, search TalkTalk TV. Available on selected full fiber plans, £5 monthly access, 30-day minimum contract. Google and Google Play are trademarks of Google LLC. Google account required. Additional hardware and subscriptions may be required. Subject to location. For full terms, visit talktalk.co.uk.
This is a Global Player original podcast.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 Thang. Radio
X. Welcome to the 4 till 7 Thang podcast. You all right there, Gav?
Yeah.
You're the only member of the team who's here. We're actually operating the equipment ourselves.
Well, I figure I can handle it. I mean, you know, they're not much help normally.
Yeah, they're not actually that much help.
Not really.
It turns out we can do this quite well.
Yeah, you know when you're carrying a heavy object with five of you?
Yes.
And then you suddenly realise there's a couple who aren't really carrying it.
Right, and that's exactly.
You know, like a sofa.
I mean, if you're hearing us now, Gav and I have done an admirable job.
Absolutely right, yeah.
What did you have to press, Gav, to do this? What technology did you have to use?
Do you know what? I had to cover for little Si. I pressed three buttons in 1 hour.
Yeah,
there's nothing. There's literally nothing. Most of it just does it on its own.
Does it?
Yeah, it's all automated.
No wonder they won't let me sit that side so they can see that, because they're really trying to make out.
It's like a pilot. You know the 747 pilots? They're basically just passengers. They're like Tesla passengers.
Well, they're there in case everything goes wrong.
That's it, yeah.
And if it probably comes to that, you're knackered anyway, right?
That's right, it's too late.
Yeah.
All they've got is a calm voice.
Yes, yeah. If I'm flying this thing, we're
Yeah.
Sorry.
We're stuffed.
Yeah. If you can hear me, you're dead. Anyway, Gav.
Yes.
A bit of a gap there, but that was quite clumsy. That's all right.
That's all right, yeah.
Doesn't matter.
It's all right. We'll get them to close it up in the edit.
No, they won't even do that. Let's just send it out as it is.
Yeah, why not?
Here's what's coming up this week. We discover that one of the team grew up in the most satanic town in the UK.
Yes.
And I can tell you now, there are no surprises.
None whatsoever.
None whatsoever.
Everything came together in that revelation.
I may as well tell you it's Sunter.
Yeah. It was a revelation, literally.
It wasn't even a revelation.
Well, it felt like it was from the Book of Revelations, anyway.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be more of a surprise in the town.
Yeah, right.
Also, the Woodman has a have-a-go hero who created a grisly scene in his heroic little slot. Looking forward to listening to that again. And we continue to hear about your long-running disputes. Long-running disputes. Talk about it. Enjoy.
Johnny Vaughan. Radio
X. Gav, did you have a nice weekend?
Yeah, it was nice, yes. I sat near the fire and I sort of watched TV and I ate things and then I sanded my chest.
Did you?
Yeah, I've got this wooden chest
of
drawers.
Oh, right, I thought you meant physically. I thought kinky.
No.
Just the nipples.
No, I just thinking to refinish a little chest of drawers.
How do they measure the
grid?
Yes.
On sandpaper?
Yes.
Well, you start with an 80, always.
Oh, is it? Okay.
If you've got deep scratches.
And what's it, 80?
And then up to
GSM, what is it?
It's 80 grit. It just gets called grit.
80 grit.
Yeah,
okay, okay.
Then you go to a 120, and then a 240.
It
and
must
then
relate to something per square, whatever.
Yeah, I guess it must do, yeah. Okay. I don't know. Gets called grit.
I'll tell you something, though, Gav. Mm-hmm. Someone out there is going to tell us.
Oh, they will.
Right.
Absolutely
now.
Guaranteed.
So you sat there with a, was it
I had a cork sanding block, and I just held the paper around it. And
just did you?
Rubbed away all day.
Gently did your nipples.
Yeah. Yeah.
What a lovely way to spend in front of the fire.
I couldn't sign into my iPad. I rubbed off the fingerprint on my finger. Wouldn't work.
You're kidding me.
No, I'm serious. Yeah. Absolutely doesn't work for a day.
I strung up burglars and they went by. A man claimed, yes, he was sandpapering his chest.
He said he was doing woodwork.
Yeah, it might have been the acid used on them as well, Gav.
It could be that too, yeah.
Of course, there's only one other creature on this earth that has fingerprints.
Mm.
Hedgehogs.
Isn't it?
It's hedgehogs.
Yes. Hedgehogs, that's
hedgehogs
right.
Hedgehogs have unique fingerprints.
Seagulls have fingerprints, don't they?
Yeah, they do go.
Silly.
I'm pretty sure they do. They do.
So they're silly. Each one should have a mugshot. Yeah. I'd really like it. I'd really like to see. Like,
a seagull mugshot.
No, or like Usual Suspects. Yeah. Like, slightly different heights with the thing
all
behind it.
Shifty.
Yeah, yeah, but also that profile shot as
that's
well.
That's him. That's him, the grey one.
That's him there.
I'd recognise him anywhere.
Yeah, I'd know those beady eyes. What did you do over the weekend, Dr. Cinda Templeton?
I had the most insanely productive Saturday.
Why?
I got a haircut, got my brows done, got my nails done, and saw the dental hygienist.
Wow.
I know.
My God.
I feel like that's a mic drop moment.
Wow. Boom.
That's like a whole series on Channel 4.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That is January done now.
That's the whole series, Gav. That's their autumn season.
Yeah, never mind repair
that's
the chateau.
That's Saturday night. That's loads of shows. I sometimes wish it was just like a kind of equivalent of a sort of car wash I could go through.
Oh,
yeah, that'd be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Well, you just hold your hands out and your feet and your eyebrows.
I think at old people's homes, there should just be a very gentle slide they can put them in.
And go through various processes.
Lovely.
Yeah, and they just dry when they come out at the end with really big fluffy hair.
Yeah.
Boofy hair.
Almost and fluffy. And just moisturised.
Into a sort of toweling dressing gown.
It's very gentle. Just,
it's what a spa weekend
it's got a gentle sort of turn, little gentle jets for the crevices.
You land on a beanbag at
and
the
end. Just, no,
yeah.
There's no beanbag. I think it's just get lifted out and put on a toweling... but also, but it's essential at the end, there's the hot air section, so all the old dears come out all fluffy, all with their white hair all fluffed out.
Straight into Songs of Praise on the telly.
Yeah, yeah, but yeah, exactly right. Yeah. Just drops them in a nice chair.
A cup of tea.
Yes. They might even still be asleep. I don't know.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
I thought of that when I was in hospital years ago, having my knee done.
Yeah.
And I saw some those sort of older people then getting bed baths. Mm. And it looked like a real ag.
Yeah,
right.
And also not that effective.
No.
Sort of flannels and
lean over.
Yeah, but just you sort of think a gentle slide. Like those lazy rivers you get at water parks.
Right, like a gentle water park with steam jets.
A warm water park.
Maybe towards the end. Like a bit of a whoa, just to give them a little bit of adrenaline,
get the
moving. Oh, I better sit down.
Radio X.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
A McDonald's in North Wales has turned to playing recordings of classical music in an attempt to reduce, you know, really antisocial behaviour.
Oh, to calm it all down.
This is an old trick, isn't it?
Is it? Yeah, it's kind of like a. Kind of medication time technique, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah.
Yes, they should play. They should play a theme from a summer play.
They should.
A theme from a summer place, incidentally.
Order number 341, please.
Oh, it's so dark. It gives me
it's dark. It's in Animal House, isn't it? And then it goes into... when Belushi's on the ladder.
Oh, God, yes.
Anyway, the thing is, there's a much simpler explanation for this Welsh problem.
Why?
Well, just keep them away from things like meat.
Okay. Well, to curb the aggression.
Yes, that'll curb the aggression. They're giving them too much meat and protein.
Right.
It's too much protein for them. They can't take it, not the diet they've been on. Mm.
Right, especially after pub time.
Yes, right.
Remember
before they've been having largely carbs and scraps from...
What?
From the mine owner.
Oh, my goodness.
No, they're giving them too much, much too much meat and probably nuts as well. Things like that that they're not used to.
Right.
Sure.
Also, bright lights... Stuff like that. The colours will excite them. They've never seen anything like it. When they first opened, I remember McDonald's in Norfolk. Similar problem.
Did they? Yeah.
They saw Ronald McDonald. They were worshipping him.
They did. They did for a while. It was the most popular church in Norfolk.
They were worshipping him.
Yeah.
and that was only once they seen him. But they only brought Ronald McDonald in because they were bowing down before the chairs, which in itself they couldn't believe.
The golden arches.
They couldn't believe the golden arches. They're worshipping that. They set fire to the effigy of Ronald because they thought that's what you do to things you love. Anyway, but it's the same thing in Wales.
We're passing French fries around in rituals.
Too much protein. Just turn down the lights a bit, and also. So play old things like Welsh Choir. Actually, no, don't play Welsh Choir.
That'll get their blood going.
Don't do that. I'm out of time. Right, let's move on. I was going to tell you about the Irish winding me up when I went to Ireland. and they told me it wasn't called McDonald's in Ireland. It was called O'Donnell. And I actually did ask, excuse me, is there an O'Donnell's near? Radio X. Cats don't like cucumbers.
Yeah, if you just put one next to a cat, they leap away from it.
I thought it was very good in the early days of the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're meant to fade out while I'm talking. No, it's really good. In the early days of the internet, there was a great thing called Feline Reactions to Bearded Men.
Right.
Which was a great...
It sounds amazing.
Really? Some of the beards that cats hate.
Really?
And the beard they hate, weirdly, is that one the Glazers have, the one that's just below the
neck
chin.
Beard. Oh, yes. Really?
Yeah.
And the cat's just like...
Oh, I agree with that.
I think everyone hates those beards.
Yeah. They've had blokes with their heads in boxes. different beards. So, very early days of the internet.
Oh, it was
really exciting. Anyway, someone else texting David Dimbleby.
Yeah.
What?
That is the most random text we've ever had. We've had the whole Man U squad, but now just David Dimbleby.
Holly and Shanice are prepping for a big weekend away, and it needs to go exactly to plan. So they need to know exactly what they're getting, like the choice of over 800 hotels.
Yes! Right in the centre!
So they're only moments away from where they want to be.
Woo!
With a super comfy bed waiting for them at the end of the night.
Oh.
And with checkout by 12 p.m, they can even hit snooze. Enjoy the same feeling whatever the trip. Premier Inn. Rest easy. Only available to book at premierinn.com.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Radio X.
If I said to you, you're about to hear from a broadcaster, a TV star, a world record-breaking rower, an adventurer, a best-selling author, and a former member of the Special Forces, you'd think, oh, here we go, he's talking about himself again. But actually, ladies and gentlemen, we've got today's guest, one of the few guests we've had, only about 15 guests, and now three of them will be Jason Foxy Fox!
Hey, Foxy.
You right, Foxy?
Yeah, good, thanks. How are you, Johnny?
Yeah, not too bad. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Lovely to have you back on the show. Now, where are you now? I can see you sort of in a... I mean, don't give us I mean, what are you in? Are you in a van there?
I'm in a Land Rover Defender.
Old school.
It's a great British vehicle, John.
For a great British man.
I learned to drive in a Defender many years ago.
Did you? My old regimental sergeant major, RSM Colton, once I complained on the way to Proteus. I don't know if you know that army camp, but once I complained to him that I was feeling a bit ill in the back.
Yeah.
His reply was, "You can't get sick in this car, son. It's a Land Rover." Which was...
it's against the rules.
No, you just can't. Refuse to believe anyone could feel like anyone could feel ill in it. Anyway, Foxy, you've got life at the limit. Tell us about your UK tour. Go on.
So the UK tour is obviously me touring the UK, but I'm talking about bringing to life. I've written a couple of books, and I bring the stories in that to life. There are a few more extra ones that aren't in the books, and it all hinges around my journey with mental health. You actually feature in the tour, Johnny.
Do I? Why?
Yeah, there's a cameo. Do you remember when I came on the show a while ago and you did a segment or a piece called Bullshido?
Yes.
Yes.
And I told that story. Well, I allow you, there's a little snippet on the old screen and you tee the story up nicely for me.
Go on, tell them the story again.
Okay, so really shortened version, if you want. I'd just come back with the rest of the lads that I served with from a long 6-month tour. One of the lads was getting married, decided to have his stag do the weekend after we got back in his hometown, quaint little town called Sherborne in Dorset. 2-day pub crawl, turned up. Anyway, as we're playing pool, warming up into the weekend's proceedings, this guy walked past the pub. It caught our eye because he was carrying a Bergen, like a military rucksack.
Yeah.
A set of uniform combat boots, walked into the pub, put the stuff down, ordered a pint. Barman's at, "Oh, mate, are you in the military?" And he's like, "Yeah, yeah. I'm in the Marines, but I don't really want to talk about it." That's basically spiked the attention of a few of us. And there's two lads who would be known as Peter and Paul. That's what they're always called in this story.
Yeah.
They decided to lightly interrogate his story a bit more because people that pretend to be in the military sort of wind them up.
Yeah. Same.
Yeah. Anyway, They said, oh, mate, well, you know, who do you serve with? Where have you been? And he's like, well, I'm in 42 Commando, which is an alarm bell in itself. For all the wannabe Walter Mitties out there, just make sure you call it 42 Commando, not 42.
Yeah.
And then he said, oh, I've just come back from Afghanistan. It's been horrendous. Don't like talking about it. And they sort of like goaded him a bit more, asked him what he'd been up to. And he was like, well, been in combat, it's been horrible, lost a few mates, been working with the SAS. And they were like, oh, no way, that's interesting, because I thought it was the SBS that had been out in Afghanistan. And obviously at the time, it had been reported in the press that the SBS had been out there conducting operations. And he turned around to them at that minute and said, the SBS? He goes, don't talk to me about them. You could be boozing in the same pub as them and you wouldn't even know about it.
I love it.
It was then that the pub erupted into a bit of a brawl and, yeah. He left at speed.
Yeah, nice, nice, nice. Go on, give us another one that's in your show. Just give them a flavour.
Another one is, so back in 2019, I canoed the Yukon River with a good friend of mine that I'd served with. We did it to raise awareness and funds for a few charities close to our heart.
Yeah.
And we were constantly worried about bears. You know, it's bear country.
I'll tell you what, I've swum the bloody river. I've swum it.
Have you?
No, seriously.
The whole thing.
No, seriously. You're in a canoe. Try doing it in Speedos, mate. Seriously.
Anyway, so I canoed in Speedos. Anyway, we're not allowed to have guns as British citizens. We can't get the permits. So, but you are allowed to carry bear spray, which is... Mate, it's like an angry can of Lynx. It ain't doing anything.
Yeah, right. Yes. Yeah.
But, yeah, anyway, week five it was, we had a bear encounter. We got chased by a grizzly. And I'm not ashamed to say it, my backside fell out.
It was, did it?
Yeah. It was absolutely petrified. The thing is, you can reason with people. Even if you're up against lunatic people, there is an element or a chance that you can reason them with them. But when it comes to things like that, it's not like you can say, hang on a minute, hang on, let's just talk this one out. They're,
Yeah, you can't, you're with bears, yeah.
No, he's going to eat
and,
you.
I remember, that's coming from someone who played Newcastle just 2 days ago, yeah? So he's also experienced the Geordie, yeah, which I would say, same rules apply, right? Fun enough, that bear spray, I use that under my pits. Mm. It you know, just keeps the testosterone at bay. Right, we've got more Foxy in a second. Please, could you stay on the line? I know you're hunkered up in a labour there, but ladies and gentlemen, we've got more Foxy after this.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Radio X.
This is the 4 till 7 thing on your Radio X. We are joined by ex-Special Forces Sergeant Broadcaster, best-selling author, ladies and gentlemen, Jason Fox is with us. Friend to the show. Friend to the show. Now, normally when you're on tour, your locations are closely guarded secrets. How have you found it having to, you know, obviously clearly labelling where you're going to be? Like, I think you're in Harrogate tomorrow night is your next one.
Yeah, it's slightly different to the tours I was used to, yeah. Yeah. Just as dangerous probably in some places. But
you say that you said you've been on a long tour. You've done 6 months. 6 months. I've done that in the queue for Scoff in the Rock.
I've spent more time in the Scoff queue.
I have. Right, listen. Are there any cities you haven't liked so far, or you get a good reception everywhere?
No, I've got. Do you know what? Every city. I'll tell you what I enjoy about this is, I was dreading it. I was dreading getting up, standing up in front of people and gobbing off. But
yeah.
I've really enjoyed it. And actually, I love going to each town, each city has got its own like character.
Yeah.
And also it depends on what time of the week you hit it. Like, you know, the weekenders, they're a little bit larrier.
Yeah.
For obvious reasons.
Well, yeah, I'm surprised you get any hecklers and stuff, because you can just get in there and like...
Tidy them up.
Snap their necks like twigs.
Radio X.
This is Radio X. I'm Johnny Vaughan. You're rolling with the 4 till 7 thang. Suntus here, Gav's here, little size here, big size here. But more importantly, in a lay-by at an undisclosed location, we are joined once again by ex-Special Forces Sergeant and pottery enthusiast. I may have added that just to make it sound a bit more sensitive.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jason Fox is here. Foxy, have you got any hobbies? Is there anything, what do you like to do to unwind? Because you're quite active.
To be honest, it is about being active. So if I have a spare bit of time, like a a weekend, so a decent chunk of time, I'd take myself up into the hills somewhere. I did it not long ago.
What do you do?
Get out of town.
And just sing.
What do you do? primal screaming. Yeah.
Run through the meadow.
Yeah, like a crazy man. Yeah.
Strip
naked,
really.
Eat raw rabbit. Yeah. I live like a savage, John.
Yeah.
So that's what you like to do, like to take yourself off, get a bit of solitude.
Yeah, I do, yeah. It's I find it's just good for me, Ed. Good for me, soul.
Now, you're currently on your UK tour at the moment. That's why we find you in that lay-by or wherever you are. Life at the Limit, delivering first-hand, remarkable stories of daring exploits. A friend of mine who I served with... no, I did. We worked in a bar together.
Okay, yeah, nice.
He was
serving drinks.
We're serving drinks. Yeah. We're both.
I'm going to say that from now on because I've done that before. I served with him
in a bar on the King's Road. No, but he had been in the army. He's a bit older than me.
Yeah.
But he said that the biggest stresses he ever got, he'd been in Bosnia, and one of the things he used to wake up at night sweating from. Was a near miss when he leant forward and a bullet went right in the headrest. And literally, if he'd been there, that would have got him. But he didn't. He just leant forward literally to adjust something. And he said that gives him the most sort of PTSD. The fact he's looking back on something that nearly happened rather than anything that actually happened. Although, I guess, do you talk in your show about any near misses, Chase?
I talk very broad brush about the experience I was in. But a lot of what I talk about is my PTSD,
right?
As in my. So the whole tour is hinged on my journey with mental health.
And okay.
How it affected me, how I loved my job, but also at the same time it put some pressure on me, and then it's about bouncing back from that.
Do you have any near miss moments that you literally wake up sweating about?
I don't sweat about them.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
It's just that my pal did. It's just my pal did. He said that's the. I was talking to him about PTSD, and he said that's the only thing that really makes him, you know.
Yeah, I mean, for a period, I suppose there was moments where I like looked back and was like, oh God, that was. There was one where we'd gone into a building complex. I'd gone in a door. I'd come out the door, and then this barrel appeared from nowhere. I didn't actually see it. Someone shouted gun. And the next thing, this guy shot at us. But it was literally, I was stood by a wall, and it was like that Ali G moment. Do you remember Ali G when the gun gets fired around and there's an outline of his body?
Yes.
It was like that. And then the next thing, you know, someone's calling, and I ended up like tap dancing across this courtyard into cover.
Yeah, the old Spandau Ballet.
I suppose for a period of time, like immediately after, and for a few years after, it did have an impact on me. But then I needed to stop it being an issue.
Okay, and how do you do that? How do you stop things being an issue? What do you do?
Mate, it took a long time of me coaching myself and speaking to people, but it's more about understanding that the things that have happened, and you know, you can't change them, and there's no point worrying about them moving forward because they're not in the future. So you've got to sort of spend a bit more time in the now.
I tell you what's turned it round for me. I was reading Catch 22 again, and sorry, I wasn't. I watched the box set of Catch 22. I haven't read the book for about 20 years, but it's one of the best books I've ever read. One of the best books I've ever read. Certainly one of the funniest. But I was reminded of a great line as I watched the new TV version, where Yazarian, our hero, who worries a lot and is a very stressed character, is asking this pilot who seems really cheery the whole time, and he says to him, well, how do you remain like that? He says, listen, you got two choices in life: worry, 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 dead; happy, 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 dead. That's it. The end, either way, the ending's the same. And I've kind of found that, I think it's brilliant. I think that's it's a really, really good, simple thing. You can read as much as you like on the subject of, you know, sort of moving forward. But actually, that basic choice, worry, 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 dead; happy, 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 dead. You got the choice. That's it. The ending, the ending's the same, you know? And I kind of love that.
Yeah, precisely. I think that, that's a different way of wording what I think I, or the approach that I take. Really.
What's that? Shoot first, ask questions later.
Yeah, and remain happy.
Yeah. But smile.
Do it with a smile.
Yeah. His trigger finger smiled.
You know, Danny, you never hear anything about the sad assassin. It's always the smiling assassin.
That's right.
Yeah, right. As always, lovely to talk to you. You play the Royal Hall, Harrogate tomorrow. I notice you play Hereford in February. Expect a bit of heckling there from me and the boys. Yeah.
Run a few nightmare around.
You won't spot us, but we'll be there. Foxy, do you know what? It's always lovely to speak to you, and you take care. Jason Foxy's tour, Life at the Limit, continues throughout February. Check local press or go online for details. Loads of dates are still to come. Foxy, you enjoy yourself. Well done on all you're achieving in terms of raising the profile of charities very close to your heart, and also raising lots of money for yourself. I'm messing around. Thanks. Ladies and gentlemen, Jason Fox.
Hey.
Thanks, mate.
Go and see him live. Do it, do it.
X Radio. X. Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Hey, Gav, sure. Gav, yeah. Have you got a hero?
Sure do.
I bet you have, you naughty man.
Wow.
It was such a non sequitur.
It was.
He's a
and
very...
What? A little bit threatening.
Really weird, yeah.
He's a very naughty man.
But he said it with a smile, which made it even more
threatening.
He's
a really naughty man.
I'm just as God made me, sir.
Who's that naughty man on the radio? Go on, Gav, what you got?
Okay, the hero today, Johnny, is the Goat with No Name.
Okay.
Or the Unknown Goat, which is also a great band name.
Do you mean a goat or greatest of all time?
No, it's
you
an
mean
actual goat.
Okay, fair enough.
So you love a survivor, you love a have-a-go hero. You love a story about a grizzly bear.
Gav.
This is a story from September 2021.
Gav.
Yeah.
All of the above.
All of the above. This is a story released by park rangers in the Canadian Rockies.
Do you know, when I was a kid, that's what I wanted to be.
I can see that.
A Rocky Mountain park ranger.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I can fighting see bears. You on
just
the horse.
Fighting bears.
Yeah, exactly. So the body of a grizzly bear was discovered just off a popular hiking route, and the carcass was airlifted away from the trail so that other predators weren't tempted near the hiking trail where people were using it.
I always think that's quite a good thing, though, if they've got something to feed off.
Well, that's what I thought.
Eat humans. I'd have loads of dead bears.
Well, yeah. Yes, but not right on the trail. Anyway,
yes, that's what I'd have.
After examining the grizzly to find out what had actually killed it, they were shocked to discover the wounds were only consistent with one likely weapon.
You've given it away. You cheese salad yourself.
I have.
It's a goat, isn't it?
It was the mountain goat horn.
Do you know what?
Yes.
So happy that you have cheese salad yourself, and that is just genius.
Oh man,
it's
I lifted
genius.
The cloche.
That really is man cheese salad self. That's brilliant.
No, but it's even better. It's
that's
the same
just genius.
It's the same breed of satanic mountain goat we had on earlier the other day about the one that killed a hiker.
Have you cheese salad yourself? That's all I need to know.
Now,
that's all that's cheered me up.
We normally think of a goat as an easy target for a grizzly. Just think of that scene in Jurassic Park when they lower that goat down into the pen. Yeah. But no, it turns out if you try it on with a mountain goat, you get the horns. Don't forget, mountain goats have razor-sharp 11-inch horns, and they weigh up to 300 pounds, and they can run up a cliff.
Wow, man.
Let's salute the goat.
The goat.
It didn't see off a grizzly. It killed it.
It killed a bear.
It did.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Radio X.
Hey guys.
Yeah.
Do you know something?
What?
A sleepy town famous for cheese and also for printing Prince Harry's book. And I think this might be related.
Oh, yeah. Why?
Well, it has cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Prince Harry's book. What's the third of that unholy trinity? Satanists.
Oh.
It's got the highest number. Of seat of Zartanists.
The horned one himself.
No, Zartan. No, that's... Dad, I've called him by his real name.
Yeah. Don't say it three times,
don't
say, for
don't,
God's
don't,
sake.
Don't, just, no, I can say it as many times as I like. It doesn't matter. It's not going to evoke anything.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's got the highest number of devil worshippers. Of, sorry, devil. Depends how you spell it, because it's an old with a Y.
The devil
worshippers. No, devil.
Yeah.
I've just seen where you're talking about.
Yes.
It's where I went to high school.
No.
Kidding me.
The perfidiousness is explained.
It's Bungay.
It's Bungie.
Bungie.
Yeah.
Bungie.
I know it's spelt Bungay, but it's Bungie.
Tell us about Bungie.
Tell us about it.
Since the music climax at that moment as well.
People don't go down there anymore.
It's a quite
completely
an old place. Yeah,
is it?
Yeah, it's an old like Suffolk village town.
It's an old Suffolk village, yeah. John.
It's on the map.
You know what? It's got quite a famous roundabout with chickens on it. Chicken roundabout is what Bungie's
known for. Are they all dead,
for.
Sunter? Are the chickens dead?
It's got 70 devil worshippers living there.
Oh my God.
That's it. That actually
and
doesn't surprise me.
You went to high school
me.
There.
I did go to high school there.
Right.
It was a lovely high school.
It's got a population of only 8,500. I can see what this week, next week's pet town is. It means almost 1% of residents are officially worshippers of Lucifer.
1 in 100 is a Luciferian.
Yes,
oh
Luciferian.
There's so many of my old mates from school live yeah. there.
It makes Bungay where Sunter went to high school. I didn't know.
We genuinely didn't know that.
I know you didn't. And I didn't know that's what you were about to say. I just saw the headline.
Is the Zartanist capital of England and Wales.
My God.
There's more worshippers of Zartan.
I'm very proud of that.
Yeah, are you?
Yeah.
I guess so, because you're sort of quite evil and stuff. Printer Clays, which employs 700 in the town, that's people, not Satanists.
Yeah. Mm.
They only employ Satanists.
It's a condition.
They produced Prince Harry's controversial book, Spare, and J.K. Rowling's Harry Potter series.
Ah.
Yeah. Which a lot of people in the church were still concerned about.
Mm. Sure.
The way
sure,
it's sure. taken children away from Christianity.
Fascinating.
And cheese, Baron by God, which is made in the town, was named Britain's Best by the Fine Food Digest Awards. One resident says, everyone knows there's some funny locals. This is in the Sun. It's always the quiet places you've got to watch. But someone else says, somewhere famous for books and cheese, about the last place you spent fine full of Satanists. Sorry, Zetanists.
Wow. My God.
Tony Dawes, the mayor, said, I'm wondering if people with nothing better to do during lockdown decided to put Satanist on the form.
Maybe.
No,
maybe.
You don't just do that because you've got nothing better to do.
That's true, yeah.
I suppose the devil will find work.
Right.
Yes.
But that's why.
Idle hands.
True.
Yes. They had idle hands and a form and a biro or crayon, probably.
There must be a pub they all go to.
Yes.
Green Dragon.
Really?
The Green Dragon was where we always used to go.
The dragon himself.
So you assume it's that one?
I assume it's that one, yes.
Okay. Okay, fair enough. And why would you, what do you think? What does it for you about that pub? Why does that add
By
up?
By the dragon.
It's the one we could get served in.
Cut to a landlord bashing his head against the wall. Oh, great.
No,
now you
thanks.
Take my bloody licence.
That's half my income, that is.
There goes the licence from students. So would you say there was something ungodly about the place?
No, it's a lovely little old market town.
Oh my God, she's one of them.
Oh my God,
she's one of them. Her eyes, look, they're glowing.
I don't think there's such a thing as a nice market town. They're all horrible.
They're inches from a wicker man.
Did I tell you about Chicken Roundabout?
Yes.
Yes.
That's the highlight of Bungie.
Had you forgotten telling us that? The devil wiped your mind.
No, I just wanted to
Okay, okay, fair enough. This is the White Stripes. Stripes. Seven Nation Army. Don't they? Is there in the Book of Revelation? Isn't there?
I think there is. Yeah.
Of a roundabout with chickens
and seven nations.
Yeah, right.
I'm Joel Dommett.
And I'm Hannah Cooper.
And we are married to each other contractually.
We are trying out new things that we have never ever done before on our podcast, Never Have I Ever. Such as...
I've never ever been to a strip club.
Never have I ever been to a strip club.
True. Know? In which case, we can both go to a strip club for the purposes of this podcast.
Never have we ever been to a Caribbean island.
Never have we ever discussed how you pronounce Caribbean. I think it's Caribbean. Never Have I Ever is available now on Global Player. Give it a listen, please.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Radio X.
4 till 7 thing right here on Radio X. You ready for some long-running disputes?
Yes.
Because I am. You know, there's no dispute about that.
No.
Is there some music or something, Harry?
No, there isn't.
It felt like I am.
Yeah.
Well, we were...
Dispute. Long running dispute.
Dispute. I don't think Kajagoogoo did that song.
No, but it just feels like
the way you're doing that slap bass
dispute.
Move.
Dispute. Long running dispute. Ha ha. Dispute. Long running dispute. Ha ha. Gav, give me the bass. Dispute. Long running dispute. Ha ha. Dispute. Long running dispute. You got a dispute. That's it.
Done it. And now we know what it was ain't like no to be there when Iron Sky was finished. Yeah.
It never ends. Yeah, yeah. Ain't no dispute. Long running dispute. Ain't no disputing. Long running dispute. A 70-year-old legal dispute in India, the longest in history, has just ended. Ain't no resolution. Just long running dispute. Ain't no resolution. No closure. Or settlement. Okay, you ready for this? A 70-year-old legal dispute. Long running dispute.
Stop it.
Oh, goodness.
Give me that. Long running. Actually, it needs a give me that. Give me that. Long running dispute. Ha. Ha ho. Longest in history has just ended. We're now on the hunt for your long running dispute. Ha ha. Simon argues with his mate Martin that Dave Lee Roth is a better frontman for Van Halen than Sammy Hagar.
Yeah.
No frickin' way.
That's not an argument.
Are you nuts?
Are you crazy?
You're crazy.
You've lost your mind.
Yes. Simon's a crazy man. Sorry, Martin's a crazy man. For Ben, it's how to say the word almond.
Mm-hmm.
How do you say it?
Almond.
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 Oh, very good.
There's always one.
Great timing, though, wasn't it?
Very nice.
Very good time.
Yeah.
For that long running dispute. Ain't no closure. Just long running dispute. Ain't no dispute. Right. Ellen has a continual heated debate as to whether peanut butter is a sweet or savory topping or spread. Long running dispute. Ha ha.
Stop it.
Is it a topping or spread? Long running dispute. I don't know.
It's definitely savory.
Savory spread.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But as Gav said, ain't no resolution. Long running dispute.
Okay.
Right. Holly in Sheffield. What's she got for her?
Stop it. Holly says, my long running dispute is with my husband. We've been together for 20 years, and for most of that time, have had a heated debate about the location of the birthplace of the Industrial Revolution.
Nice.
Okay.
I say Arkwright's Mill in Cromford, Derbyshire.
Mm-hmm.
He foolishly believes it to be Ironbridge in Shropshire.
That's interesting.
Interesting.
I can see why that is, eh? Long running dispute. Okay, Gav, what's yours?
This is from TJ in Huddersfield.
Whoops.
TJ says, me and my dad have had a tennis dispute for about 10 years. He insists that 30 all is exactly the same as deuce and is completely unwilling to listen to me despite being obviously wrong.
Can't you just watch a set of tennis?
Yeah, right, and just listen to them call the scores. Yeah, that's all you need. Then you've just resolved that.
John, it's exactly RD. The same. It is exactly the same. As soon as you reach 30 all, you need to win 2 points in a row in order to win the game. It's the exact same as deuce.
No, but they don't call deuce until it's 40 all.
Exactly. Yeah. But so you might as well just call it at 30 all.
Hey.
Well, this is actually a long-running dispute now.
Well, at 15 all.
This is not resolved.
No,
because it goes to 30.
That's not under dispute. Because that's not in dispute. It's not a long-run dispute.
There is some resolution.
Get the hell out of here. Ain't a long-run dispute. Okay. So 30 all, he's right. You may as well just call that juice.
Yeah, right.
You've still got to win by 2 points.
Mm, but people are thinking 40 all when they hear juice, aren't they? They're thinking 40.
No, but 40s. Harry's exactly right. Attacked the logic of that. Do you know where it comes about from, don't you?
What?
The tennis scoring system.
I know about love.
Yeah, which is l'œuf, which is an egg. No,
yeah.
It's because they used to do it on clocks.
Oh, right.
So you'd have
so the quarter past,
15,
right,
30.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then obviously they didn't go to 45 because you can't do half of it nicely.
Mm. Right.
So they went to 40.
Yes.
And then you can go up to 10. You had to. So they just moved back. So originally they used clock faces for it. Right. This is from Sarah in Hawkshead Lake District. Christ alive, this is dragging on.
Yeah.
My husband. Should we stop? So we needn't do this now. We've had.
No, let's hear from Sarah.
Do you want to hear from Sarah or should we move on?
Go on.
Let's hear from Sarah.
Close it out. Good. Close it out.
Because I don't want us to do this and then afterwards we get a long one. My husband has a long running dispute with my father 13 years ago as a harassed young dad.
Yeah.
Or harassed young dad. Okay, my husband put some toast in the toaster as he hurriedly got ready for work. My parents were staying with us at the time. When my husband returned 10 minutes later, the toaster was empty. My dad, Malk, was happily eating toast and drinking tea in the dining room. My husband's toast. My husband never fails to bring this up to this day whenever my parents are staying. Every time my dad makes toast at our house, my husband pipes up, "Careful, someone doesn't take that, Malk."
Brilliant. So petty.
Do you know what that is? And he mutters under his breath.
That's so good.
Do you know what they are, Gav?
What?
Long running dispute.
They are.
Send your long running dispute. Where? 83936. Send your long running disputes to 83936. Or email johnny@radiox.co.uk.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Radio X.
Hi, Johnny. Long-running dispute over toast. This is fantastic.
Yeah.
Straight after giving birth to our third child, the midwife made me some toast and tea whilst I was getting cleaned up. And I came back to my bed to find my husband had eaten the toast and he drank the tea.
No!
This day, we still agree.
We still argue.
Yeah, you're right. We still argue. He thought she made it for him. Why?
Because
I was exhausted.
Because he's just been through a hell of a lot. It's unbelievable, isn't it? Please, if you have got more toast disputes, we might do a long run dispute toast special. We might do a toast special.
Oh man!
Yeah, we might do a toast special.
What's that?
Yeah. I can add that live.
Sure.
The toast special bit. You know, once we've made.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Radio X.
Slightly in the doghouse today.
Why?
What have you done?
Because I got things in the wrong order.
Why?
What?
I went out, got to get the car washed.
Yes.
Because we need to impress this weekend.
Oh,
not really. I'm going to drive up and see my old man on Saturday, and he can't stand a scruffy car.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
And I've got real baby car.
He likes a car to be kept shipshape.
Oh man, right. Toddler car.
It's like a skip. Oh, yeah,
this is a skip, and we are using the boot at the moment for storage.
Right.
As well, it's just a hole. It really is. It's disgusting. Anyway, I passed the fishmongers on the way back. So
yeah.
I popped in, got a Manx kipper.
Nice. I love a kipper.
I didn't use the grill.
Right.
Didn't use the grill. Because I know it stinks up the grill. That's it. I'm not that Royston.
Right,
sorry,
right.
It's a chap who works here who comes down to our floor to use our microwave.
Oh, he'll microwave a kipper, no problem.
Despite
yeah.
the fact, you know, he literally walks three floors.
Yeah, because he knows.
And the basement just to stick some fish in our microwave.
Yeah, he's not stupid.
Yeah, not stupid. No, I admire him for it. Anyway, so I've really stunk up the house with kipper.
Oh no.
Yeah, really, really annoyed Vanessa.
Yeah.
It stinks, and there's no doubt about it. It does.
It will, and that will linger for 48
ages,
hours
yes.
at least.
Well, you did that and then left.
Yes.
So you didn't stick around for the
I really cleaned up after. I didn't use the grill.
Yeah.
I used the boiled water technique.
Yeah. You poached them.
Emptying the water on a drain outside.
Did you throw the pan away?
Yeah, you need to incinerate that.
No, but I put Domestos down the
Extra vim.
Absolutely. And I really did
It's in all the furnishings, that's the thing.
I know.
The smell of it will be in all your soft
Yeah, you've got a fishy sofa
Fishy sofa.
Yeah. And it's your hands and everything. And it's like clearing up after Novichok. No, it is. I'm not kidding. It's like sort of everything. You have to work out what you've touched, everywhere it's been.
You need a forensics team.
You need to stick a tent around the face. It's like Salisbury. My flat. Anyway.
It's kipper sarge. It's everywhere.
I can still...
Oh, no, Christ.
And I've washed my hands twice. I can't get it off. Anyway, then I went for a haircut. And I've noticed... I went with a different barber today, but I've noticed everyone at the barbers...
Yeah.
Of which there are so many these days. Mm. It's crazy. It was a time you couldn't find a barber.
Oh, no. It's a real sort of trade now, isn't it?
No. Yeah. So I don't know if they're all money... I think they're money laundering, aren't they?
Really?
I think, yeah, a lot of them take cash and that's it.
I think it's become quite lucrative.
They take a sum of money that's suspiciously close to the next fiver upwards as well, don't they?
16 quid.
It's, yeah, or, yeah, exactly.
And then they just, and they make sure they have filthy hands and they get a load of change. I've only got 20p.
My butcher gave me some mints with my change once.
Oh.
I had to carry it all the way home in the same hand and then wash my hand and the coins.
What, mints?
Yeah, there was just a remnants of some mints in there.
What?
He'd just been making mints.
Oh, I thought you meant M-I-N-T-S.
No, no.
You mean M-I-N-C-E.
Minced beef.
Minced beef.
Yeah.
In the coin.
It's just a couple of pieces of mints in there.
I'm surprised they don't just keep maggots in the drawer. There you go. Sorry, there's a few maggots in there, sir. There you go, sir. If you go fishing, there's a few maggots in there, sir. You might want to wash your hand. You might want to wash your hands up there. They're full of crud.
Don't worry, it's award-winning mints.
Oh, no, I won't wash my hands till I get over. Them coins are filthy.
What, so your barber spritzed you at the end?
Yeah, they have a different catchphrase. Yeah. The other guy used to have Vulcan. Mm. He used to say, he used to go, here we go, nice and fresh. Nice and fresh.
As he deodorised
nice
your
and
head.
Fresh.
Yeah, yeah.
No, they use that lemon spray.
Right, right.
This guy says, he looked at me, he goes, chili sauce?
And,
chili? Yeah, he did, yeah, yeah.
Chili sauce.
Chili sauce, that's just his humour. Just his humour. He's got a bit of a
imagine if he actually did, though, put chili sauce in his head.
I was just
like,
thinking
what?
That. That's like bear spray.
Yeah. Yeah.
That'd be hilarious.
Yeah, really, yeah, yeah.
Hot
if he
eyes.
Did actually put chili sauce on my head. No, I just, thought, so. I just thought he was joking. Yeah, go on then. You're looking at me like, are you mad?
He said yes.
Tabasco. Jesus Christ,
that is
going
to sting. That
yeah,
will
it's going to sting.
Living for your next getaway? Nothing beats a vibe holiday. You and your mates all in one place, chilling by the pool all day or partying all night in hotspots like Ibiza, Zante, and Cyprus. Whatever your holiday vibe, book early from London Stansted and lock in today's price with just a £60 deposit per person. Vibe by Jet2 Holidays.
Radio.
X.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
By the way, I tried to say I'd be there waiting for
Red Hot Chili Peppers there, by the way.
Finally finished it, haven't they?
Yeah, finally finished that. Before we finally find out what they're waiting for.
Right, yeah.
It'd odd if it'd been food. Cheese. Waiting for food. Chips. Hey, guys.
Yes.
Guys.
Yes.
So I've got a split decision for you.
Right.
Is it about bananas?
Banana split? No.
A wimpy dessert of some kind?
Is it about a pea soup?
No.
Is it about a new wave band from New Zealand?
Split ends. No, it's not. Oh, right. No,
okay. Is it about atoms?
Split the atoms, no.
Is it about genes when you're doing kung fu?
No, it's not. No.
What
no.
Is it,
is it about...
Come on. A split decision.
Is it about that city in Croatia?
What, Split?
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Oh. Simon's read the paper.
I didn't get
right. You filth the next 2 minutes.
Is it about?
I hope you can sing, Simon.
Yeah. Is it about? Yeah. Can you whistle? Okay. Get for this. Are you ready for this?
Go on.
Little Si's got it right.
Mm-hmm.
Is a split decision.
Go on.
Because it's a decision that affects people in Split, Croatia.
Why? What have they done?
Well, bikinis have been banned from the streets of Split.
You're kidding.
No, as the city. Popular with tourists, launches a clean-up campaign. I don't see the bikinis, people walking
what?
In bikinis.
It's not offensive.
It's nice. It's nice to have like this.
I didn't realise it was a kind of, like, bougie beachwear place.
Yeah, I didn't realise
either.
Oh,
anyway, those caught in a two-piece away from the beach will be fined 132 quid. I tell you what.
That's quite a lot. What's wrong with being bougie?
Yeah, right.
What if you've got a caftan over it? Or a little sarong?
No, it doesn't matter, Sunta. Doesn't matter. Actually, no, that might do. That might get you
might
out of it.
Right.
But do you know what? Once, I was in San Sebastian on holiday.
Yeah.
And San Sebastian, you've got the beach, and then it's the most lovely town. With
yeah.
Extraordinary restaurants. One of the best places you can possibly visit in Europe.
Mm.
It's insane. And actually, it's quite like a sort of... You'll really get it In terms of it's really like a, almost like a British beach town.
Right.
It's got that sort of proper promenade.
Okay, yeah,
with
yeah.
the beach right on the town. You know, it's not right. like Barcelona where it's on the same level.
Yeah.
It's got that big stone.
And it's got
thing.
Mountains behind it, hasn't it? And
yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, wow. Admittedly, okay, it's not that much like a British place. It's got great food, really good weather.
Lovely.
They really look after the beach well. Yeah. There's not lots of, doesn't smell of poo. Yeah, so forget the British thing. But it's quite like, if you know Biarritz, it's quite like Biarritz.
Right,
except
okay.
I prefer it to Biarritz. You sure. can argue for hours, sure. Particularly with people over 80.
Well, it's more Spanish than French, isn't it, for a start?
Well, it is Spanish, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yeah,
anyway, so I was in San Sebastian, and I needed to get some cash to pay the beach guys.
Yeah.
Because they only take cash. And there's people you can buy, incidentally, on the beach, a three-month ticket for your sunbeds.
Really?
Wow. And you get, like, a flat-roofed sort of, you know, sun...
Wow.
Yeah, it's like a sunshade that's flat. Mm.
I must remember that when I have my three-month holiday next year.
And you can... No, but people...
I really
no, but people take
wait.
People take it for the whole summer.
I know, isn't that
and
lovely?
And all you get is two deck chairs underneath it. No,
fancy.
It's not lounges. It's just lots of old boys in just deck chairs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
funny.
Sitting in the shade
that
the whole
summer. It's actually
summer.
Quite old-school British,
isn't
it?
Yeah, it is. Mm. That's what I mean. It's all deck chairs there. No, anyway, so I go off to the cash point to go and pay the guy. And I see the guy. So I'm only there in my swimmers.
Mm. Right.
And I obviously I don't mind, you know, sort of flexing my body around town.
Sure.
I like it, you know, but sure. there's an ATM right other side of the road
right.
from the beach wall.
Yeah.
And the ATM is shut. So I say, and the guy in the surf shop says, there's one just around the corner.
Okay.
So I go around the corner. Again, that one's got no money.
Oh, no.
So someone says, no, there's one over there.
So you're venturing further in.
Now I'm right in town.
In a speedo.
Like sort of the business area.
Oh, right.
And I'm just this lone bloke walking around. I sort of thought this, I really didn't want to look like this, you know. I've sort of got...
feeling quite naked.
No, the worst thing is I've got nothing. Because I jetted up there, I've still got bare feet.
Oh.
I'm literally, and it's starting to get a bit hurty on my feet. And I just, I literally just meant to just stop across the road, go to a cash point, go in. I'm now literally 15 minutes into town.
Oh.
It's just really,
oh,
I felt really
conspicuous.
And it's now also, it's very late in the season. I'm now getting quite cold.
Yes.
You know, it's all sort of shady.
Yes.
And Oh, man. So I'm just saying, if you are going to advance into town in bikinis or just in your swimmers.
Sure. Take a good coat.
I don't object to it sort of visually. It's fine.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying you might get a bit chilly.
Yes.
Yeah. Fair play. Yeah.
You might
it's good advice.
Yes. I was all goose pimple. I mean, I think they suddenly thought, what's excited him? No, because the old nips were up a bit.
Yeah. Right.
By the time I got to the ice cream shop.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Radio X.
The Cardigans, my favourite game. I let that song run. Entirely run its full length. I didn't talk over the ending because I know some of you still tape the show.
Sure.
I didn't want to. In case you're using a radio cassette.
Yeah, right. And you don't want to ruin your collection.
Because that's the technology that was still around when I started in this beautiful business.
Oh, yeah.
30 years ago today.
Today.
Yeah, that's when I was first on TV. So the week before I got the call on a Monday. What happened was the show was called Movie Watch.
Yes.
And it was on Sunday nights on Channel 4. I don't know if you remember it, but each week we went to a different town in Britain, and I took four kids to the cinema.
From that local town.
Yes, okay, I was the same age.
Yeah.
So four kids. We'd have four films that were coming out that week.
Mm. When you say kids, they were sort of teenagers, weren't
they? Teenagers
they
or student young age, up to kind of 25, whatever.
Yeah, sure.
Depending on what the film was.
Sure.
Yeah,
well,
All over 18, and then and they'd see the films, and then they'd review them, and they used to hold up numbers.
Yes,
right.
Do judgments.
Out of 10, out of 10, not randomly.
Sure, yeah.
They give it a score out of 10. And then I used to also interview whoever was, you know, the stars of the films that were out that week, and then each week we'd do a funny little sketch about something.
Okay.
About which I used to enjoy immensely.
How did you get that job?
I got that job because a friend of mine used to work at a production company that made title sequences for things.
Right.
And he made the title sequence for a show that used to be called Rapido. I don't know if anyone remembers
it. I remember with Antoine Decoun.
With Antoine Decoun.
Hello, my little friends. Yeah.
Which became Eurotrash and kind of...
Yes.
Yeah, so they used to do that. And I was down and he said, at the time I was really poor. And I any opportunity to get free drinks.
Yeah.
Fum. Well, I've got to tell you,
nothing's changed.
Gosh, how things have changed. Anyway, and we were relaxing back in our flat, me and the chaps, And he came round because he was picking something up in South London. He said, hey, they're filming these titles, but they've got loads of free booze up at where they're filming.
Yeah.
They're doing this title sequences.
Mm.
So I went up there to this production company, which is just a shed in Notting Hill, well, Labbot Grove. And I just started talking to this producer who's there.
Just
started telling stories. Mm. Anyway, a while later, he said he was doing a movie show for Channel... Sorry, a music show for Channel 4.
Mm.
And they tried one host Channel 4 didn't like.
Right.
And he said to Channel 4, I met this guy. He's really quite... This guy, Johnny Vaughan. He was really quite a funny bloke. He might be able to do it.
Yeah.
So they filmed a little 10-minute pilot, a little me show.
Right.
Where I was sort of doing stupid things and interviewing a friend of mine who was in loads of adverts and...
Just you and a camera.
That's the only famous person I knew.
Right.
But funnily enough, I had lunch with the other day.
Wow.
You'll recognise him as well. At the time, he'd just done a Vidal Sassoon advert.
Okay, right.
In the locker room.
Wow.
Which became a bit of a specialist thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I didn't hear anything more about that. And suddenly, on a Monday...
Yeah.
Obviously, Channel 4 had seen this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that was about 2 months before. I heard nothing. I just carried on with everyday life. And then on a Monday, I got a call saying they want you to come in and chat. They want you to do this film show. They've been looking for you everywhere. They can't find you. You haven't got a phone number.
Did you suddenly get serious butterflies? Because that's a proper gig.
I was thinking, what?
What TV?
No, nothing.
I like that you're like Bill Murray. You can't get hold of the guy. He'll do the job if you can get hold of him.
I also love the fact that you haven't been desperately trying to get into television at all.
No, I didn't. So on the Monday... I was told they were trying to get hold of me. So that then I finally got through to them. They finally got through to me on a Wednesday. I gave them my number. They called me back on the Wednesday.
Yeah.
I went to this office in Soho.
It's all landlines.
I thought, hello. let's go to the call box.
You have to be near a phone. That's
you remember the Lavi, the flat we were
in?
Yeah, right. So then I was told that on the Thursday, I was going up to Manchester to do some filming.
Right.
So I went out to Manchester, started filming, doing the filming like... Hello and welcome to Movie Watch from Manchester.
And it was a pilot?
It was the actual show.
Wow.
It was the actual show. Yeah, it was the actual show.
Wow.
And it was then on the TV on Sunday.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Bang.
And that quick?
And my dad, who was really worried about me, because weirdly, exactly 32 years ago today was when I was released from jail for being an idiot when I was a kid. Yeah.
These anniversaries.
Yeah, so it's an anniversary. Exactly 2 years after that.
Yeah.
Right.
And I was my dad obviously worried about me because I was back down living in South London with friends and so he came round to the flat on the Sunday. He took us out for me and my mate Jim, that's how I know Gav. Out for lunch, and then
he'd been begging you to get a job and all the usual dad stuff.
So I knew it was on TV at 6:30. I knew it was going to come. So we're sitting around, he says, "Well, I better push off back home, John." And
you didn't tell him?
No, I didn't tell him. No, I said, "No, Dad, wait, let's have tea. We'll have tea."
You kept him, and he's looking at the.
And I was wearing, because I didn't have any clothes. I was wearing exactly the clothes that I was wearing on the show. I was sitting there, my dad's gone, we started watching it in the background, and I was going, "Welcome to Movie Watch from Manchester, that way I used to." And my dad goes, "Bloody hell, Johnny, looks just like you." And I've gone, he goes, "Who the bloody is you?" He was really, really surprised.
Oh, cute.
And, he was more worried. "Well, I worry about you being in showbiz, John. It's terrible." That's everything you've been trying to get away from.
I'm Gordon Smart, host of Restless Natives podcast, and I'm joined by my friend and co-conspirator, Mr. Martin Compston.
Hello!
Restless Natives was a cult Scottish film from 1985 featuring two scallywags, two lads who take on the ambitious task of robbing tourist buses in the Scottish countryside. They're like the Scottish Robin Hoods. We're taking that spirit and we're distilling it down into a podcast. We're going to set lofty ambitions and set off in pursuit of tasks and goals that we have no right achieving. Some of them will crash and burn spectacularly. Subscribe now on Global Player.
Johnny Vaughan's 4-7 thing.
Radio X.
Fallout Boy, Heartbreak Feels So Good. I'm Johnny Vaughan, 30 years in the biz.
Can I stop you there, Johnny?
Yeah.
We've got a little treat for you to mark your anniversary.
What?
Just a little message for you.
Go on then.
Hi, Johnny. Congratulations on 30 years in the biz. The listeners really are getting the best of you, but you're definitely my hero. Lots of love, David Grohl.
Whoa!
Oh!
Get in there. Who is he talking about? Oh, that's really nice.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Very cool.
I don't know when that came in. Someone else saying, Johnny, just look back at your one of those first shows. Jesus, you haven't aged well.
What?
Thanks for that.
What?
Appreciate that. Big hello to Christian Bromley. Yes, I thought I told it rather well as well. Thank you very much.
Radio X.
There we go, David Grohl. Unscripted, yeah?
Amazing.
Not even told him what to say. Just, no, it was, can I say unsolicited as well?
Sure.
Like, the cat has just followed my career. There's someone saying, I hope it isn't the AI voice message app. Moyles has been messing around with it. Could be, I don't know. Anyway, thank you so much for all the questions you're sending in about me. Weren't you also the roving reporter on Naked City? No, that was my second show that year. No, I was roving reporter first series because we didn't actually have
a presenter.
There was a venue for the first series.
You hosted that in like a dinner jacket or something.
Yes, I did. It was me and Caitlin Moran, now brilliant writer in the Times.
Yeah,
and the first series, she was in the shed. Weirdly, the one where I went to that time and bumped into the producer.
Oh, really? The same place, right? Wow!
So that's where it was hosted from.
Wow!
And same production company, weirdly. Mm. And then series two, we did it in a house nightclub in South London. That's when Oasis did their first.
That's how I remember it. You were standing up on like stairs and things.
We had all that lot there. It was the glory days of Britpop. It really was.
Radio X.
This is your glorious 4-7 thing. Thank you so much for all your congratulations. And thank you, messages to me on the occasion of 30 years in showbiz to the day. Congratulations, TJ. My earliest memory of you. And we are doing memories of me.
Sure.
Of course.
It's when Greg Rosetsky was hitting coconuts off little stands with tennis balls in the Big Breakfast Gardens and you were charging around losing your mind because you couldn't believe somebody actually had a skill. In fact, that's what you shouted, he's got a skill, he's got a skill. From that matter, I knew you'd be around for a long time. Congratulations, I remember it very well.
He's got a skill, funny. Yeah.
I got on quite well with Greg Rudetsky. And some mates of mine used to have a tennis foursome. And he lived quite near me.
Oh, really?
And I said, no, I'll find someone to play with. I'll come along.
You did.
And I turned up.
You got him into the ringer.
I turned up with Greg Rosetsky. Yeah, it was really funny.
It was my friend Greg.
It was really, really funny. Yeah.
Oh, no.
What's wrong? What's wrong with Greg?
Whoa! What's the deal?
He's just a Canadian. He's just a Canadian. Hangs around the pub.
Yeah.
He's just plays a bit of tennis.
Johnny Vaughan's 4-7 thing.
Radio X.
I've got some great news for you.
What?
Apart from I've been in showbiz for 30 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which is something loads of you are celebrating.
Wow.
On your shed program, Extra Tremble. I don't know what that means. On the camera. That's with Trevor Bayliss.
Oh, yes.
I used to enjoy that, except for the time we destroyed something that the Ministry of Defence had left us. Trust us with. Which is, you can see on YouTube. Yeah, it's a waterproof laptop.
Wow.
Top that would work.
What a great idea.
Underwater. Yeah, it's fantastic.
And then
underwater.
What did you put it in water?
We put it in a fish tank.
Oh, no.
It didn't work. You know. The person from the MID was going, no, that one's not ready.
Oh, no.
But I assumed it'd be ready.
Yeah. You better bring it when you're coming on the big
exactly
breakfast.
Right. Someone else just saying, what button in the tubboard? Oh, the memories. The memories.
Radio X.
Blah, Charmless Man right here on your Radio X. Goodness me, I remember their first TV appearance on a show I did.
Great bunch of lads.
Actually, well, yeah, they are. I've always been a big fan of Alex, particularly. Sometimes Damon can be a bit...
Alex is a friend to the show.
He's a massive friend to the show. Hey, Vaughnie, I remember you doing a pub shoe review. You test them on how slippery they were. I remember the Reebok Classic 1. That's because, as we celebrate 30 years today of me and showbiz.
Yeah.
I was fascinated by increasingly at UK garage nights. Everyone was wearing these Reebok Classics.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
And this was about 1996 or 95, must be. Everyone was wearing these shoes. And I realised they were called Reebok Classics, but actually they weren't classics, they were new.
Right.
We just always called them classics, like it was going back to an original shoe, but they weren't.
No, they weren't.
I went to see them at Reebok's. They said, no, we just made it up. They've got no heritage at all. Anyway, so... I was in a shop called Offspring. It used to be in Covent Garden.
Trainer shop, yeah.
I think, no, it wasn't. It's now Offspring. It wasn't called that. It was a sort of specialist trainer. And I said to the guy who worked there, Kareem, I said, excuse me, what are these shoes actually for?
Oh, because some of them are tennis, some of them are running, some of them are whatever.
I said, what sport is it actually from? And he's going, I don't know, mate, it's a pub shoe, isn't it? and so we did like a Top Gear with shoes.
Excellent.
Where I wore different shoes
for
to the
pub. For going to the pub, right?
Yeah, but it was good. I don't know where it's around here. It's probably not around here, but I enjoyed walking along and looking to the side like you're doing Top Gear to the passenger seat, just going, I'm walking now at about 7 miles an hour and they're really handling it. And it was like,
as I approached the bar.
Yeah. I mean, it was annoying because there was no Instagram then or TikTok, because it would have been great content, but of course now lost unless you got a VHS.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Radio X.
Hey, Gav. We all like a bit of chocolate, don't we, right?
So, of course.
What chocolate are you on now as a vegan? What do you go for with that?
Anything dark. I love dark chocolate now.
Thanks.
Wow.
Thanks for
really
saying that.
Really good.
Why did you really lay it on, though, when you said it then? I love dark chocolate now.
Because I don't miss milk chocolate. I don't miss, like, that creamy chocolate.
Yeah, you do.
None of us would ever miss.
Black like my heart.
Seriously, no one would.
No one enjoys black, milk like chocolate.
Yeah.
Nice.
He enjoys milk chocolate. Adults eat dark chocolate.
Yeah.
Kids eat milk chocolate.
Sure. That's just not true.
I know.
That's not true.
I know.
There's some amazing things going on in the Tony's milk chocolate range.
Oh, yeah.
At the
they have great vegan chocolate, good. Actually.
No, some of the almond and nut-based chocolate things as well. It's incredible. I'm just not having that. You don't miss milk chocolate a bit.
Oh, man. The Ritter Sport hazelnut is ridiculous.
Yes. I saw you round
that. That's so old school.
I know. And so delicious.
I saw you round the Quality Street when we had that in.
No.
Yes. It was like Russian roulette with you.
Don't think
for vegans. Anyway, guys.
Yeah.
So we all like a bit of chocolate. Harry, what's your favourite bit of chocolate? Just to pep this item up a bit and give it some real...
Right, I mean, overall, universal Snickers.
Really?
Yeah, Snickers.
Yeah.
John's really weird. I always have a Snickers when I'm playing golf. Do you know why?
Why?
The nuts give it that veneer of sport.
Well, it used to be a marathon, but
a sort of,
so...
an element of nutrition.
A sort of sports bar. I better have a Snickers. No, I'm going to need those nuts for protein.
Yeah.
Layers of nougat. And...
Keep me going.
Yeah. You can, do you know something? As kids, we used to make our own Snickers.
Right.
Yeah, we used to just melt Mars bars in with nuts.
Did you?
No, I didn't. I just sort of think I like making up like I was an unusual kid.
Mm.
Well, you were definitely an unusual kid.
No, I was an enigmatic toddler, certainly.
Sure. So, and you had craggy good looks as a toddler.
As the age of four, I was described as having craggy good looks. And can I just say, I do, when I'm driving, I want to get one of those cars with no windscreen.
Right.
You know, you see those cars sometimes, they've just got a little deflector coming up.
Oh, just to sort of,
to really work on my craggy good looks.
Sure, yeah.
Sure.
Guys, get this.
Go on.
So we all love a bit of chocolate. Little Simon, you have a little bit of chocolate occasionally, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
What do you have when you have chocolate? You always keep it in your pocket. You don't want us to share.
I'm very continental with my chocolate. So
with my chocolates?
I go with Lint or Milka.
I like a Lint.
Oh, I like a Lint. Nothing wrong with that.
Chocolate is
silly.
He ain't lying.
Now you're talking to me.
He lured the lid.
Yeah. No, that's amazing, that is. Sorry, Gav is quoting. You haven't seen it, have you?
No,
There's a terrible documentary about Michael Vick,
the
quarterback
player,
star who got done with dogfighting.
Mm.
Okay.
And they're just interviewing this friend of his. And his friend's just leaning back. He says he's leaning back. And he's just explaining to him about dogs. And he just goes, he lured it down. That's how he says he loves the dogs.
He lured it down.
No. He lured it down. Anyway, it just made me really laugh. Anyway, guys.
Go on.
Sorry if that accent's... I'm not very good at it, but that's roughly how he sounded. Mm. Okay. So, we've all concluded we like a bit of chocolate.
Sure.
Let's get back to this.
Sure.
Well, a woman who starred in a 1980s Cadbury advert when she was three...
Yeah.
...is selling her huge collection of chocolate memorabilia. Emma Tye, now 45, spent decades building her collection. This is 400 items,
mm-hmm.
Includes vintage shop signs, retro chocolate tins, children's colouring books, playing cards, limited edition egg cups. And her collection, guess what she's hoping to get for it? Go on.
A million.
£10,000.
This is how much people love chocolate. Yes, this is how much people love chocolate. Come on.
$150,000.
More than a million.
No, you're just being silly.
Well, I'm
it's £2,000.
Is it? 2,000?
£2,000.
Are you joking?
Can I ask, is there any actual chocolate in the collection?
No, maybe she should have stung something. Jane, when I read that item, I was really thinking, they said it's worth thousands. It says a huge collection worth thousands of pounds. I'm thinking, £2,000, just. That is just plural.
That's the beginning of
it's
thousands.
A huge
it's just enough just to say thousands.
Thousands, yeah. I mean, her life's going to change.
I've been collecting signs since 1982, and literally I have 400 items, and I've been really doing it, and I had signs and things like that.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, that is one for, you know, that lovely moment we all adore on the Antiques Roadshow.
When they
just sling in a real lowball estimate.
Yeah.
When you
it's
see
not
the
much.
Avaricious, when they say, but the thing is, it's not real. It's like one. It's like what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, really nice, if it was genuine,
yes. If it was made the year later.
Yeah.
The year early when his father was in charge of the pottery.
And that's when they say
you'd have something
course...
worth about 1.2 million.
Yes, but there are thousands of these.
Yeah.
If I was you, I'd just keep it on a windowsill, keep old coins in it, something like that. It's pretty worthless. £2,000, eh?
It's probably what she paid for it all.
Yeah.
It must be worth more than that. But it's 400 items. 2,000.
Yeah.
Not
That's
much
it.
Interest, my love.
No.
Four bloody items, yeah. Ecclesiastes 85.
Radio X.
That was our podcast. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button now, and you'll get the 4 till 7 thing downloaded straight to your device every Friday. Please tell your friends about it. It would really help us increasing the look to the metrics.
Sure, yeah.
And
the interactions, the numbers.
Tractions, the numbers, the stats.
Algorithms.
And algorithms, stuff like that. So if you want to get in touch, email johnny@radiox.co.uk. Otherwise, just go through your contact list, select all, and put get the 4 till 7 thing podcast.
Do it.
Thanks. Radio X.